been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
To the Monday post holiday edition. We're happy we're not hanging out in an airport somewhere waiting for our missed connection. No, we're ready to go. New week here. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, as we start to close out this year and begin a new year. We'll start to continue to make our projections for the coming year and what we see happening. Right now, you know, with the turmoil in China, which is kind of unexpected, in a way it isn't, in a way it is, I suppose. It's got the markets rattled a little bit. The Dow right now is down 157 points to start a new week. And we've got the Bitcoin down $283 to $16,209. The S&P is down 0.6%. It's down 24 points. It's sitting right at 4,001. The NASDAQ is down 0.4%. It's sitting at 45 points. Crude oil is getting hit. Well, you know, with China locked up, they're not going to use a lot of crude oil over there. Crude is hitting a low for the year in 2022. It's down around 74.50. It's down 2.3%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. And today's a day where a little of both are working. The inverse funds against the emerging markets in China. And, of course, the Dow doing well. And on the long side of the market, well, I haven't seen much yet. I haven't had a real chance to dig into the market. But welcome back. This is Bill Gunderson. Welcome back from a four-day holiday. I feel rusted up. Had a good time. Ready to go back and fight the good fight this week.
Ready to close out, you know, finish up 2022. So
yes, we're getting very close to the end, and it's been a crazy year, to say the least. Don't say we didn't warn you about the impact that rising interest rates would have on the market. In fact, I guess looking back, you'd have been better off just sitting out the year, just saying, you know what, I'm not going to own anything. Well, you would have beat the S&P 500 by about 13 basis points, right? You would have beat the NASDAQ by 28 basis points.
Yeah, 2,800, yeah.
But, you know, we are active investors, and we tried to do our best to take advantage of areas of the market that we thought were vulnerable, and also exploit areas of the market that looked good, that were positioned well. The other thing you could have done here this year was to just buy nothing but the oil sector in 2022. The oil sector up about 45 to 50%. In 2022, you could have just made two big investments. Number one, long the oil sector. Number two, short, inverse, the U.S. long bond interest rate, short interest rate, which was TBT, and you would have come out a real hero smelling like a rose here in 2022. Well, what will 2023 bring? I think that depends upon a lot. It depends on inflation. I'd say that's probably the biggest factor still out there. Interest rates, which the two are tied together, what will the Fed do? And the third biggest factor is going to be a focus on earnings. So far, you know, the earnings have held in there pretty well, but we have seen some pulling back in the expectations for next year and the year after that, especially in big tech. I would say that that's one of the areas of the market that seems to not really be thriving at this current time.
And you still have a hugely inverted yield curve. I mean, 77 basis points currently with between the 10-year and the 2-year, and I think you referenced that on the headline this week in the newsletter. Actually.
That's right, and I showed a chart of the inversion. I put a line there at zero, and you can see how far below zero we're at -74, widening a little bit. That would be the fourth biggest factor in 2022. Three recession. Will we end up in a recession here in the U.S., which would also weigh heavily on a lot of things? Now, I went out on Black Friday, no sign of a recession at the local mall, Barry. I got over to we have a big outdoor mall, Mount Pleasant, with all your stores pretty much well represented. And fighting for a parking place, hour and a half wait to have lunch anywhere.
Right, yeah. It
lines out the door of some stores. I would say, just from my perspective, the standout stores, number one was BBWI, which is Bath and Body Works. There was a line. I don't know. They must have been given out free stuff or something. But Bath and Body Works, which has been a pretty perky stock here recently, was definitely a standout, as I just was an observer on Black Friday for the most part. The other standout for me was Lululemon, which...
right on the corner there.
Yes. I couldn't believe the buzz inside that place. just lines and people buzzing, going through everything. Look at the chart today. It's breaking out. We do own Lululemon, so I was glad to see the action there. I guess the biggest disappointment, and I think this is going to be a factor going into 2023, you still have a very tight labor market, number one, and number two, there doesn't seem to be a pool of workers that are willing to work right now. The only place that didn't have a wait was TGI Friday. Okay, that's like the last place I want to go for lunch. But,
it was Friday.
Yeah, it was Friday. Well, TGI was, it was not TGI. When we went in, there was a hostess there. The place was basically empty, maybe three tables. I thought, oh, well, we'll get a table right away. She says it's a 1.5 hour wait. Okay, a 1.5 hour wait for what? She says, we don't have any servers. They can't get people. And I saw a big banner flying from the back on the building, hiring cooks $18 to $22 per hour. I was tempted to put in an application. I'm pretty good, with a griddle and a spatula.
You're going to have to bring it out to the table, too.
But that jumped off the page to me also on Friday, that they're still having big issues with getting help. I mean, this is like their biggest day of the year probably at some of these restaurants. And it's unfortunate that they can't have a big banner day because they can't get servers. It was servers that they were out of and didn't have enough of. They only had a couple servers. All right, well, the global risk-off sentiment is dominating the market today. This kind of began last Wednesday, I suppose. There was a fire in one of the big cities in China. The people could not get out of the building because of the COVID lockdowns. That's not a good situation. Man. Somehow the news got around that this had happened. The people in China are rising up and protesting. And it's spreading to the universities. It's spreading to the schools. Whether it will achieve anything, I think back to Hong Kong when China started tightening their grip on Hong Kong, and the protesters, did the same thing. And what became of that? Pretty soon, it was quiet in Hong Kong, and Hong Kong had been assimilated into China. And since then, China has taken a hard left turn. An even more authoritarian approach, hardcore communist. You know, we'll just have to see. It's certainly uncertainty. I think that's another thing that's going to dominate the markets in 2023. And unfortunately, it's beyond our control, geopolitics. There seems to be a lot of uprisings. Iran has an uprising. They're not happy. Half the country's not happy with the results of the election down in Brazil. So anyways, that's going to be a factor in 2023, and that's an unknown factor. That's something that you cannot really account for unless you're investing in Lockheed, you know, and missile companies and things like that. But definitely the other thing about China is they're a big consumer of energy and commodities. And we're seeing a big drop in oil prices today because of this unrest and these continued no zero tolerance for COVID over there. Anyways, it should be an interesting year. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. There's a little of both today. Lululemon kind of a standout on the long side, and of course on the inverse fund side, you know, inverse the Dow, inverse the emerging markets, inverse China, and even inverse oil, which is DRIP, I think, D-R-I-P. Well, let's just take a look here. We've got 1 month to go, and the S&P 500 year to date, this was as of the close last week, is down 15.5%. And obviously, the inverse S&P 500 is up about 15%. The forward P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 right now is a little high, I think. It has the multiple has expanded somewhat because of this drop in interest rates, but you have to wonder whether or not the drop in interest rates can hold or if we're going to head back up again. The forward P.E. right now is 17.8. On the S&P 500. So, you know, at this point, I think, you know, we've had a pretty good run in the market here. A lot of people had a year-end target price in the 3,800 to 4,000 range. We got as low as 15.5 forward PE. Now we're way up at the upper end of that range at 17.8. I would just say choose your new investments wisely at this point right now up here at this level. There is one firm out there. We'll get to that in a little bit. They still say that the dominant trend of the market is down, still a bear, but this we've had a recent bounce. They call it a bear market rally, and they think it's over. Okay, we'll get to their opinion here in a little bit. The Dow for the year, surprisingly, is only down 6%. And that continues to point out the fact that dividend-paying large-cap stocks were one of the sweet spots in the market. That was definitely our best-performing portfolio this year was our dividend and growth portfolio, which did quite well, actually, on a relative basis. The Dow down just 6%. The NASDAQ now, okay, so here's the disparity between the low PE, short duration stock index versus a higher PE, longer duration index. The NASDAQ down 27.9%. And I would just say, you know, I looked at a lot of the leading growth funds over the weekend, Magellan, Growth Fund of America, T. Rowe Price, some of the big fund families. The average growth fund is down anywhere from 25 to 30% this year. And that is a consequence of rising interest rates, which took a heavier toll on the high PE stocks versus the low PE stocks. And even the small caps and mid caps outperformed the NASDAQ quite a bit because they also have much lower PE ratios. The S&P 600 small cap index was down 12.3%, while the NASDAQ was down 28%. And then you go out on the further edge of the duration curve and the PE curve, and you still have the innovation funds down about 60% this year. 60%. And the world... Well, go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, and expecting, you know, as you hit on it, in terms of some of the economic news, we got a big data dump, you know, midweek right before Thanksgiving, and you know, a lot of those, you know, still show, you know, the, you know, parts of the economy are hot. Actually, new home sales were up a good bit more than expected, like you said, in terms of spending, and just taking your, you know, walking around, you know, around here in Mount Pleasant and Charleston, the National Retail Federation, you know, is looking at about a 6 to 8% increase in holiday sales. So, you know, retail still is going, you know, is still moving on. So, you know, the thing is, the Fed still got some work to do in terms of interest rates, and you know, in our opinion, and. You know, those things, you know, should bring the, you know, PEs even, you know, back to where they kind of were, at least closer to where they were earlier this year.
Yeah, I would think, you know, I'm just thinking somewhere in the 16.5 range is about right for a multiple on the S&P. We're at 17.8 right now. So it's a high risk entry point into the market. But as always, I mean, there are individual stocks. It's all going to really be a stock picker's market. And the other big pressure I see on inflation is this labor situation. You know, until the unemployment rate starts going up and the layoffs, we have seen quite a few layoffs, mostly in Silicon Valley, but not enough to move the dial. You know, so when you're advertising $22 for a cook, you know, that's just kind of indicative of across the board. And, you know, my wife and I were wondering, well, why can't they get servers at TGI Friday? I mean, is the food that bad, or do they not pay? Are they not competitive? Okay, because the other restaurants didn't seem to have that issue. So there's got to be, you know, a demand for labor, for good workers, then you're going to have to pay more to get those folks. Now, the outside of the U.S. certainly didn't do well. I think the war in Ukraine, the energy crisis in Europe, the issues that China's had with COVID, the emerging markets were down 21.3%.
Yeah, and emerging markets, of course, you know, high U.S. dollar hurts emerging markets. So they're kind of getting a double whammy from China, you know, the growth engine over there, and then also from a currency standpoint.
Yeah, and I don't think it looks very good. In fact, that's one of the areas where we still have inverse funds is against outside the U.S. and the emerging markets. You know, there's that's a play. That's kind of a hedge against turmoil and geopolitical type of events. Europe was down 17.8, a little worse than the U.S., about the same as the U.S. They seem to have more issues right now than we have. Their inflation has not really cooled off at all from what I can see, and it's mostly coming from that energy area. India was down 23%. China down 30% year-to-date. 30%. How does hardcore communism work for the economy and your publicly traded company? Not too good. Of course, I don't think their COVID lockdowns have worked either. I mean, I've said it before. You know, we finally kind of have put it, you know, behind us because we finally just opened up and let it go through and get the herd immunity, whatnot. They haven't done that in China, and it's not working. The big loser this year, well, the Russian market didn't do so hot this year, down 78% when they closed it for the year, and Bitcoin down 66%. in 2022. What's coming up for 2023? Well, we got a lot of predictions and a lot of individual stocks to talk about when we come back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Yeah, you know, I think it's pretty much China. You know, last night the futures were down, and we were hearing more and more about the unrest, where they're actually chanting, "Down with Xi." Oh, man. Down with the Communist Party. And,
yeah. Turns quickly, huh?
Wow, that's good. Now, look, I don't know how China's going to respond. If they're true to their past, they're going to crack down even harder on the poor people over there.
If history is any indication, you kind of know how it's going to go.
Okay, just a few other highlights from this year. I think it's notable that the U.S. Treasury, I mean, this is just a plain vanilla 7 to 10 year U.S. Treasury ETF down 16.1% year to date. So you've got the U.S. Treasury down 16 and the S&P 500 down about the same. So a 50-50 blend. It wouldn't have mattered. A 60-40 blend, a 70-30, you're down about 16% in, you know, some of the biggest stocks in America, and, you know, safe treasuries like the U.S. Treasury, still about, you lost 1/6 of your value. It's kind of amazing that oil right now is only up 4.7% for the year. It started the year at 75.45. It's now down, it's now at 78.99. It was at 100, around 100 there for a while. And then the unleashing of our reserves, which could come back to bite us someday, and the lockdowns in China, probably the two biggest factors that have kept oil down. Gold went nowhere this year, minus 4.6%, and the big reason there, the U.S. dollar was up 11.5% year to date. It's come down in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and that's why one of the big reasons why you've seen the rally in the market. Interest rates, the 10-year began at 1.53. We're at around 3.74, so interest rates have more than doubled this year, and that's also taken a toll. That's also a big reason that you've seen a downturn in both stocks and bonds. So obviously, the direction of interest rates in 2023 is going to be very, very important to watch. It seems to me like we're at a little bit of a low here in interest rates. I showed a chart of interest rates. They're kind of sitting on support. There has been a little bit of a flight to safety to the bond market recently. You know, you had the big scary deal with Sam Bankman-Fried. FTX, now I'm seeing breaking news that crypto firm BlockFi, which is pretty big, files for bankruptcy as FTX fallout spreads. You wonder if these digital coins can survive this.
Well, that was my worry. I mean, in terms of that whole situation, in terms of how they, you know, create a coin, then use that coin as collateral, right, for something else, like we said originally, I don't know if there's anything, you know, illegal, right, in terms of doing that, in terms of current regulation, because regulation is very thin in the crypto market. You know, I know in our business, right, it wouldn't be kosher, but you know, I don't know the rules of, you know, it's kind of the wild, wild west, right, in terms of how, cryptocurrencies came about, and there just hasn't been much regulation there. And so, If those techniques, right, were also used by others, even if they weren't used in a nefarious way, it's still, you know, confidence is going to erode, and you have pretty much potentially a domino effect in that market.
Well, I don't see much difference between you and I saying we're going to start a stock, we're going to sell share private stock, we're going to sell shares at $1 a share. And as the people come in, you raise the price of the stock, you know, and underneath there's nothing supporting it. There's nothing tangible supporting it. It seems to me like it's kind of a pyramid scheme at the end of the day, no matter what coin there's. Now, I heard a show here, a local show, as I was driving around yesterday. It was a guy that does a one-hour show every Sunday on Bitcoin. And on cryptos, and he was making the not a real chipper, but he was defending Bitcoin. He said, look, all these other ones are going to fail eventually, but Bitcoin is going to be left standing. He was defending it, and I was having a hard time buying what he was selling, but he's entitled to his opinion. Bitcoin down 66% this year. All right, so now let's take a look at some of the predictions here, whether we agree with them or not, for this coming year, and also some of the companies and the sectors of the market. There is, I will say this about the tech sector. I am able to find a lot of mid-teen PE ratios right now with dividends. Okay, that's attractive, but waiting for the right time to pull the trigger is important. I think there is some opportunity once again in tech. And, I was thinking, Barry, if I ran a big technology, if I ran the Fidelity Technology Fund and had to stay 80% invested, I'd be buying low PE tech stocks. And that's where I'm seeing most of the action go. Like Oracle's got a PE of 14 or 15. IBM's got a PE in the single digits. CDW's got a PE ratio. That's what they're doing.
The problem there is you'd have to buy, depending on how many assets you had under management, right? You might have to find 120 low PE tech stocks.
So, yeah.
Which isn't easy to do, right?
No.
You look at some of, you take like a Fidelity Contra Fund, right? I mean, they own, I think, last time I checked, it was like 340-something positions, I think.
Yeah.
So, what can you buy?
Yeah, you're limited.
It's tricky.
Okay, so here's one opinion out there. They say that we're at the tail end of the S&P 500 counter trend rally. They say it's nearing. This is BTIG. And this comes from their strategist, Jonathan Krinsky. I'm just here to say that, and I said it in the newsletter over the weekend, the market, the S&P, is hitting some major technical resistance in the 4,000 level. The NASDAQ's hitting some major technical resistance. And when you've got that forward PE up around 17.8, I think you're hitting major valuation resistance right now. So you have to step carefully. And if you made some quick profits in some of the high flyers here recently, you're living on borrowed time, it seems like to me, the chip stocks and whatnot. But, it just depends. It's still a stock-by-stock basis. Okay, Citigroup is predicting that the energy stocks will continue to rise in 2023. That's Citigroup, okay? And they call out several, which, a lot of them are going into the green energy. A lot of them are becoming hydrogen players. A lot of them are becoming carbon caption players. Chevron got the okay from the U.S. government to start, enriching Venezuela's pocket again by drilling in Venezuela. Seems to me like human rights should come above that. We'll let you drill in Venezuela. We'll let Venezuela sell their oil on the open markets. I mean, they're not much better than Russia, as far as I'm concerned, of how they've treated their people and the human rights. But they confirmed the license, and go ahead, Venezuela. Was it Nicolas Maduro? and start drilling. So you're going to see Halliburton and Schlumberger and Baker Hughes and Weatherford all restarting work down there in Venezuela.
Yeah, it was under Chavez, right, where they I mean, that's when they basically essentially got rid of Exxon, and that's where the kind of the oil platforms are just sitting. You know, basically, they took them over, I think, and then eventually sat out there and kind of rusted. So, you know, basically they're kind of almost restarting their entire, you know, oil.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's all dilapidated and rusty and ugh. Okay, here's another opinion out there. This comes from Mizuho, a Mizuho analyst. They're pretty big on the street. They think crypto is dead. Doesn't the word crypto itself mean dead? I mean, cryptic, if you're buried in a crypt. That's always worried me about
putting
crypto.
Putting the crypt in crypto?
They put the cryptocurrency is now in a crypt, says this, and he says Coinbase is a waste of time. And yet Kathy Woods, God bless her, she says $1 million by 2030 on Bitcoin. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Dow down 217 right now. Oil's come back a little bit. It's down 76 cents. But it's at 75.62, which is one of the lowest prices it's been at all year. S&P down 32 points, 8 tenths of 1%. And ironically, the top-performing sector today in the market, or the top-performing asset class, are Chinese stocks. Go figure. Okay, Chinese stocks. I think maybe there's one stock that is a pretty big company, that PDD, which we've actually written up a research report on. PDD is breaking out to a new 52-week high. It's up 14%. It's a kind of a an Amazon-type stock of China, and that's having a big impact on KWEB, which is the Chinese tech ETF. Now, am I rushing in and buying Chinese stocks here? I don't know what this is telling us. It's either one, it's either the impact of this big company, which is a $107 billion company, Pinduoduo, PDD.
We've written about before, actually.
Yes, we wrote up a research report. We made money in that stock.
It took off, yeah, during you know, kind of heart of COVID.
Yep.
In terms of you know, what business they're in. Of course, it's been a rough go if you've been in it for a while now.
Yep, so now you've got this stock. It's been as high as 212 in 2021. It was one of the biggest winners. I mean, we had a huge win out of PDD, and now it's at 75, but it's hitting a new 52-week high. Or the market is saying, you know, I think China's going to get a handle on this real quickly. Or it could be saying, hey, maybe China's going to go back to, you know, I don't think this is the case, but going back to being more with an open market, an open society to the rest of the world. But it's interesting to see Yin, Y-I-N-N, which is, I think, three times long. China. Yeah, three times long China 50 index. It's up 4.9% right now. Go figure that. And then, of course, this PDD. Now, on the long side, the standout of the day, we've talked about this one before. I've owned it in the past. I don't know if we ever owned it in our emerging growth portfolio, but they have one of the most promising drugs out there for Alzheimer's, Axsome, A-X-S-M. Let me see. Let me find that news there. Axsome had good report. Yeah, Axsome says their candidate for Alzheimer's agitation met main goal in late-stage trial. That's AXSM. It's a $3 billion market cap company. It started off the day, was up maybe 8 or 9%, you know, and now it's up 32% on 21 times normal volume. That's a huge move. That's the stock of the day right there, AXSM. And let's hope that maybe 2023 brings some new drugs. I'm sure there will be, you know, several. But let's hope that some of these big ones, you know, including Alzheimer's, they can make a lot of progress there. AXSM Therapeutics. All right, and then another one here, not a good day for the semiconductors, SOXS. The inverse semiconductor, that's three times inverse, the SOX index. It's up 4.0%. So the chip stocks have had a little bit of a run here recently. AMD and ASML and NVIDIA and ON Semiconductor and Analog Devices. But I think they're still in a bear market from what I can see. And they're still not like exactly value or cheap stocks. And that run in the semiconductors might be over. You're seeing this inverse ETF bottom right now. And starting to bounce. So that's how today is going. Not a real encouraging day for the markets. I don't know that there's going to be opportunities. I got about 600 charts to look through today that come from the ones we own, obviously. I look at every single day. The inverse, the B plus or better stocks in the database I look at every day. There's about 500 right now, which isn't bad, really. This latest run in the market has a lot of stocks have risen into that B+. And the A+ momentum stocks, you know, there's about 120 right now. And then I kind of have my good charts or bellwether stocks that I look at every day. I'll be on Twitter all day. I'm on Stock Twits, where I have over 50,000 followers. And those entries that I make on Stock Twits and post also go over to Twitter, at Bill Gunderson. The newsletter went out Friday. It was a little bit abbreviated, but I still updated most things there. You can go to GundersonCapital.com to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, get positioned for 2023, which, you know, you're going to have to, I don't think an index fund's going to do real well in 2023. I don't think an asset allocation's going to do real well in 2023. I think it's going to take active management and trying to take advantage of those opportunities that present themselves. You can call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. We should have a couple of dates soon. For Minnesota and Michigan, we're looking sometime early March to come back there and visit. And I would especially like to do a workshop in Michigan, seeing how we've never done one there before. So stay tuned for that. Give us a call, 855-611-BEST, or get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody. Well, maybe I cut off too soon. I don't hear the music. There it is. I thought I heard the music in my ears. I'm hearing things. All right. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody. All right.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.